KID Newsroom, I'm Stephanie Lucas.
From our governor on down to our city councils, Steph Lucas keeps you updated on KID News Radio 106.3 and 92.1.
Hey, welcome back. It is the 5 o'clock hour of the Steph Lucas Show. If you're driving home, keeping you updated on news. And if you're not driving home, still doing the same thing. So thanks for hanging out. We'll be giving away some more Planet Doom tickets later this hour, so listen out for that. Right now, we are going to talk about Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett and get some analysis from Supreme Court constitutional lawyer. He also works for the New Liberties Alliance. Executive director is his position, and general counsel, Mark Chenoweth. He's been the former chief of staff to Representative Mike Pompeo and worked at the Office of Legal Policy at the Department of Justice. So he knows a little bit about these Supreme Court nominations. Thanks for joining us today, Mark. I'd like you to tell listeners just a little bit more about yourself.
Sure. I'm an executive director and general counsel of the New Civil Liberties Alliance, which is a nonprofit civil rights organization and law firm based in Washington, D.C. And we protect people's individual liberties from overreach by federal government agencies, typically. When it comes to talking about the Supreme Court, I used to be at the Department of Justice in the Office of Legal Policy and worked on judicial nominations there. So I've been following these confirmation processes pretty much since 2002.
You obviously know a lot about this subject. Can you tell us a little bit about what you thought about yesterday's proceedings?
Yeah, I thought it was a par for the course in terms of the questions that were asked, the usual sort of trap questions where senators who oppose the nominee are trying to get Judge Barrett to pre-commit to positions that would then require her to recuse herself if the cases came up, and she avoided those traps. But, you know, there were a couple of interesting moments, I thought. One was when Senator Cornyn asked her what the notes were in front of her, and she held up the blank sheet of paper to show that she was answering all their questions without any sort of notebooks or anything in front of her, which was impressive and not necessarily the norm of what you usually see.
I thought that was great because I take a lot of notes. Everyone knows I always have a piece of paper. I'm always writing things down. I have about 100 Post-it notes all over my office. She's terrific. I thought that spoke volumes.
It really did. And, you know, another, I thought, touching moment was Senator Durbin asked her whether she had seen the George Floyd video, and she reported that she had watched it with her family, and that her older daughter Vivian, who is adopted from Haiti, that she had talked with her about it and the ramifications of it, and that they had wept together. And I thought that was a touching mother-daughter moment that we were let in on. I'm not sure that was what Senator Durbin was going for when he asked the question, but I thought that was an interesting moment in the hearings.
Touching moment, and it let people know who Amy Coney Barrett really is. She was an excellent choice for a third Supreme Court pick for President Trump, I think.
Yeah, I think so, and I think, you know, her just sitting there for 11 hours as stoically as she did,
right,
and with the grace and the composure and her her ability to articulate answers to the questions that she was able to answer and to avoid the, as I say, the traps that for the questions that she shouldn't answer, was really impressive, and I think probably the best confirmation hearing that we've seen in a couple of decades.
She's brilliant, and you know, if I could say, I think it's possible for someone to be overqualified for a Supreme Court nominee. I think she proved yesterday, besides being more than qualified, I mean, she's overqualified for their job. There's nowhere else we could put her.
Well, she's a scholar of the first order, and I think, you know, it's not completely unusual to see in these confirmation hearings that the candidates for whether it's the Supreme Court or the lower federal courts are often more adept lawyers than the senators who are questioning them, because the senators are they've chosen to go into politics rather than law.
And they're out of practice
for a lot of them. But she really did stand out.
What else do you think we can expect today?
Well, I think more of the same. You know, you may have some of the senators Senator Whitehouse stands out as somebody who spent his whole 30 minutes and never asked a single question, just talked about dark money the whole time.
Am I the only one that's noticed that? I think, okay, is anyone going to ask her a question, at least on the Democrat side? This is just, it's like watching people campaigning.
It was, and so I'm curious whether he will ask any questions about that today. And then there were a ton of questions yesterday about the Affordable Care Act and the case that's going to be coming up shortly after the election, and I took that, and again, she can't answer questions about something she may sit on, and although I thought she explained some of the issues in the case very well without taking a position on them, but the suggestion seems to be, or the tactic seems to be, to try to convince the listeners or convince voters that the issue before the court is whether or not to take away health insurance from all Americans, and that's not the issue before the court. So I guess we expect that kind of electioneering behavior sometimes, but
right.
I didn't really think it was appropriate line of questioning for her.
Can you explain to us what the issue is before the court with the upcoming case with Obamacare?
Sure. So the main issue in the case, so Congress already voted to eliminate the individual mandate to purchase particular basket of insurance. That mm-hmm. has been eliminated by Congress, and the president signed that into law. And the question is, what does that do to the rest of the Affordable Care Act? Does the rest of the Affordable Care Act have to then fall down? And the reason why you might think that that's the case is because when Chief Justice Roberts wrote the opinion to uphold the Affordable Care Act, he called that a tax, that individual mandate, he called
yes.
it a tax, and said that made the whole thing constitutional under the taxing power. And so by taking that away, then does the rest of the whole thing collapse like a house of cards?
Mm-hmm.
And the law contains in it something called a severability clause, meaning that Congress is telling the court, we want you to keep as much of this. If you strike down a part of it, we want you to keep the rest of it together. And so the question is, does that severability clause allow the rest of it to stand up, despite what Chief Justice Roberts said before about the tax? And so, you know, I think what we'll find is that there'll be a majority on the court that will find that severability clause allows the rest of the statute to stand. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Okay, Mark, we are going to pause right there. I need to take a break in just a couple minutes, but we have Mark Chenoweth on the phone. He's a constitutional attorney, and he works at, I just asked you where you work at, Mark. Anyway, the guy's qualified, and he's on my show. I'm super excited. But Mark, when we get back, we'll talk a little bit more about Obamacare, what the big deal is with the Supreme Court nominee hearings and Obamacare. Obviously, you see a lot on the Democratic side saying that Amy Coney Barrett is going to take away everyone's health insurance, which is not the case.